It's time for Barreled Up by Ball Cap Sports. Here's your host, Jim Riley.
We knew that after these games, two teams were going to have their backs against the wall, and two teams were going to be one win away from the NLCS. And of course, it's the teams with the momentum that are one more win from the NLCS, as the Dodgers and the Padres, who had the first round bye, had that week off, are now this close to being eliminated. We're back to first round byes being a bad thing. We're going to begin with the Padres and the Dodgers. Leave your comments down below. What do you think? There were some interesting moments in this game, and we're going to dive into them. But at the end of the day, the Padres come out as the winner. The Padres are now one win from the NLCS, one win from eliminating the big brother, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the way we got here, the second inning, Dodger fans, this is going to drive you up the wall. Because, of course, Manny Machado is going to be at the center of it. After the extracurricular activities in between innings and sound bites and quotes in between games, of course, Manny is going to be right at the center of it, firing up the Dodger fan base. Because look where he is in relation to the base paths. In this moment, this is the ground ball that was hit to Freddie Freeman. Manny Machado knows that if he stays in the base path, he's going to be out. Freddie's going to get him. He knows that the only chance he's got is to try to get in the way. And he could be called out if he gets in the way. But he's going to be out no matter what. So let's get in the way, because maybe they don't call it. As a non-Padres fan, a non-Dodgers fan, I believe Manny Machado should have been out. He's clearly out of the base path. I believe Manny Machado should have been called out, but they did not call him out. It is a judgment call. It is not reviewable. So if you want to blame anybody, don't blame Manny Machado. Blame the umpires for not getting the out. But again, if you're a Padres fan, if you are on the side of this, if it's not Manny Machado, it's any other player, if it's your team, you love it. You love the heady nature of it. If I'm a Padres fan, I love Manny Machado for this. So this is a difficult one, because if it was your team, you'd be fine with it, because it is in a gray area. But I believe that he should have been called out. But he wasn't called out. But this wasn't the be-all, end-all of this inning. You had Miguel Rojas. I don't know. Usually we don't see hero ball in Major League Baseball, but we saw it here. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, hero ball is typically a basketball term. When you try to do too much, you become a ball hog. I got this, guys. Get out of my way. I'm going to score. It was kind of like that here. Miguel Rojas, who has been a reliable shortstop for the Dodgers, completely lost track of, I don't know, how close he was to the base, because under no circumstance should Miguel Rojas be attempting to go. I mean, he was pretty much at straight up shortstop, deciding, oh, I can get there. Gavin Lux is standing there. Give me the ball. He decides that he's going to shuffle on over as quickly as he can to get one of the fastest runners on the team, which is never going to happen. Know the situation. It's Jackson Merrill at first base. He's quick. You're not quick enough to beat him. So Rojas is unable to get that out. He is unable to get the out at first. This should have been a double play. In these situations, with baseballs that were hit in this manner, this way, you should have gotten outs. There should have been nothing. In an inning where the San Diego Padres score six, they should have scored zero. Now, Padres fans, you didn't earn this one. This is all on the Dodgers. The Manny Machado thing, I give you credit. Manny Machado was smart, earned that. This was given to you. This should have been a double play. And considering it's Rojas at shortstop and he didn't get it done, that makes it all the more surprising. So you don't get two outs here. You should have already had it out at the beginning of this. You didn't have that. Those should have been your three outs. There should have been no more damage. You should have been able to get out of this. But in the end, Padres keep going, keep turning the merry-go-round around, and we get the big moment, the Manny Machado home run. And this is 6-1. And it feels like after last game, when San Diego puts up 10, you're feeling like, oh my God. Walker Buehler certainly felt that way. He goes and he's in the dugout all pissed off. But these Dodger bats, as we all know, at any moment can explode. And they did. And that's what made this game a game again. The very next inning, Teoscar Hernandez comes up and hits a grand slam. And we're 6-5. Here we go. But then, oddly enough, nobody did anything the rest of the way. Nobody except the arms out of the bullpen. The bullpens on both sides were in shutdown, lockdown mode in a one-run game. Walker Buehler, after getting all mad in the dugout, would pitch three more scoreless innings. From the bottom of the third, the Dodgers had trouble getting anything going. Didn't have a base runner again until Freddie Freeman in the eighth inning. Estrada, Adam, Scott, Suarez, you get nothing and you will like it mode. Otani in the eighth inning. Again, this is all one-run game stuff. Otani in the eighth inning went down looking, and it felt like a sign. It just felt like, well, they haven't been able to do anything to this point, and it's probably this is just, we're not going to get anything going. Otani, specifically, in the last two games that the Dodgers have taken L's, is 1-for-8 with 4 strikeouts. That's bad. Otani, I made the argument after game one, was the reason why the Dodgers won the first game. He accounted for not all, but almost all of the runs, either directly by driving them in or scoring or continuing the line and getting on base and getting to the next guy. And then the next guy did the damage, but Otani set the guy up, got the guy in front of him in the scoring position. And then we kept moving around. Otani had his hands over all of those runs. Since then, 1-for-8. And there have not been opportunities either, because of those 8 at bats, only one time, once Otani has come to bat with a runner on base for him. So there has been no opportunity to either drive somebody in or keep the line moving because there's nobody there. So the Padres have done a fantastic job of working the strategy of keeping Otani's at-bats into the lowest leverage situation they could be. They're high leverage as they are. Very high degree of difficulty pitching to Shohei Ohtani, but you lower the leverage scale if nobody's on base. And that is what the Padres have been able to do. The Dodgers are in trouble here. They are in big trouble. We have a question mark with the Phillies element that we'll talk about in a minute, but as far as the Dodgers go, yes, they are in trouble. Game 4 in San Diego. Remember, this is a season series that the Padres took. So this is not something that the Dodgers dominated throughout the year, and here the Padres are surprising you. The Padres won the season series. Now, the Padres lost that series the final week of the season, but that was different. You have a wave of momentum coming at you if you are the Dodgers. And it, from the Padres' perspective, it is an intense level of focus and determination at this point that is just fueling this monster of a Padres club. You're going to have Dylan Cease in game 4 for the San Diego Padres versus a Dodgers bullpen committee. I obviously like the Dylan Cease situation better, though Dylan Cease in game 1, that was the game that the Padres lost. And Dylan Cease was had in that game. 8 base runners over 3 1/3. Give up a home run. 5 runs altogether came in on Dylan Cease. So you got to him there. So you got to feel like you can get to him again. So maybe there's a sliver of hope there. But we know how good Dylan Cease can be. You are going to also hope, if you are the Dodgers, that that bullpen that has been in shutdown mode, a bullpen that it outside of game 2, and really that was Brazier and then the other kid who I don't think we will see again. That was game 2. They gave up runs late, but game 1 bullpen was locked down. Game 3 bullpen was locked down. They have to do it again. In game 1, it was Brazier, Vezia, Phillips, Kopech, Trinan kept the Padres scoreless. You're going to hope that some version of that runs out there again in game 4 and does the same thing. You'll be adding Landon Knack into the equation. Knack did not face the Padres this year, so we have no head-to-head data. Maybe that's a good thing. These Padres bats haven't seen him before, but he's going to be making his postseason debut in an elimination game. There'll be some jitters. I don't think he's going to go out there in the first. He maybe goes out there in the second, and the idea is for him to give a couple of innings, but it'll be a batter-to-batter, inning-to-inning situation. You're going to need a big-time step-up from Landon Knack in his debut, and that Dodgers bullpen's got to be locked up. But I worry about bullpen games. Those of you that haven't heard me about this before, bullpen games make me nervous because all it takes is one guy to not have it that day. In game 2 for the Dodgers, it was Ryan Brazier. Gave up a couple of runs, could not get through a inning. You're going to have 5, 6, maybe 7 guys take the mound tonight for the Dodgers. And if one doesn't have it, God forbid if 2 don't have it, but if one doesn't have it, that could be all it takes. San Diego Padres are going to throw Dylan Cease out there. Dylan Cease should be able to get you 5 or 6 innings so you don't go into that turnstile situation for the final 4 innings. Dodgers are going to be going through it for all 9 innings. There's just some volatility to that. It's a good bullpen, but even good to great relievers cannot have it one day and give up a couple of runs. And in the regular season, whatever. But in the postseason, an elimination game, that's the end. The Padres are going to be operating as if this is an elimination game for them, because the last thing they want to do is give the Dodgers any life and send this thing back to LA, regardless of the crowd. Forget the crowd. It has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with giving the Dodgers life, giving them momentum. If the Dodgers win tonight, you can feel some of that momentum start to get pulled back, and you head to LA for the game decider or the series decider, and you don't want that. You want to end it right now. Pull the plug. Don't let that heartbeat continue to beat on. And if you're the Dodgers, your backs are against the wall. How are you going to operate? How are you going to perform? This is it. Again, all of the pressure that keeps mounting from the fan base, from the media, from Major League Baseball fans around the country. Everyone's watching you. Are they going to fail and falter again? There's so much pressure here. And I think a lot of these guys will be fine with the pressure, but it's just this heavy weight that obviously the Padres are not playing with. Because you can see it. You can feel it. They're free. They're fluid. They are just playing a smoother version of baseball. Maybe that's just how I'm seeing it and you see it differently. You see maybe Dodgers are just not executing, and that would be accurate as well. But is some of that weight getting to them? Again, Ohtani, if you want to win this game, if you are the Dodgers, Ohtani's got to get up with opportunities to do damage. Ohtani with a runner or two on, there has to be at least 2 of those instances in this game. If there's not, if that continues these last 2 games where he's coming up and there's nobody on base, I don't like it. Ohtani with a 2-out single, okay. Ohtani not having an opportunity to drive in runs or keep the turnstiles moving makes me nervous. I think the Dodgers are in trouble. And Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman. Jesus, what are we going to do here? This, I got to think this is, with how bad his ankle is, he's probably going to want to go, and it's probably most likely that he does go. But is it smarter to pick your spot with him and have Freddie available in a pinch hit situation rather than throw him out there? Because Freddie Freeman can't run the bases right now. If Freddie Freeman in a big spot early in the game hits what should be a double, but he can't get there, and then he's, you can't take him out in the first inning if he gets a base hit. You probably want to because he can't run. I think you need to hold Freddie back and wait for a pinch hit opportunity late. That seems like the best option here. That's what I would do. So, Dodgers are in big trouble here. I don't like it. I didn't like it after it was a split in LA. I felt like the Dodgers needed to get both of those games. You fired two of your best shots out there with Yamamoto and Flaherty from a starting pitching perspective. You had an incredible Ohtani game. Ohtani carried you in game one. You're going to need him to carry you again. I felt like there would be another Ohtani carry the team game, and it will have to be tonight. Otherwise, if that doesn't happen, it's game, set, match. Padres move on. Let's talk about the Mets dominating the Philadelphia Phillies 7-2. Sean Manaea, give him the keys to the city. Give him a lifetime contract. Don't let him leave Queens this offseason. What a performance. You're basically seeing the Mets free agent plans for this upcoming offseason laid out in front of you in this postseason. You have to bring back Sean Manaea. You have to bring back Pete Alonso, who homered in this game as well. The performances that we're getting, the individual performances from the Mets on top of the team level performances, the whole team collectively, the Mets are doing amazing things. Sean Manaea, 7 innings, 1 run. 3 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. That is so incredibly difficult to do against this Philadelphia Phillies lineup. Amazing job by Sean Manaea. And really, for the most part, he didn't have that much trouble. To go through this lineup without having really much trouble. It was the sixth inning. The sixth inning, it felt like maybe going through the lineup again, you're trying to do something different, throw a different look at him, and it was throwing him off because he walks the first two batters of the sixth inning. But then you get the pitching coach, settle down, kid, do your thing, keep it up, give him a little pat on the butt. He goes back and sits down, and then Sean Manaea locks back in. Strikes out Bryce Harper on 3 pitches. If you're a Phillies fan and you're watching Bryce Harper in that at-bat, you get why he swung at the first pitch. It was straight down the middle. Bryce is probably thinking, this guy's going to try to throw a strike. He just walked the last two guys, so if it's coming down the middle, I'm swinging. But it was a changeup, not a fastball. So you get that, you get up 0-1 on Bryce. But then, if you're Bryce, you need to look for those breaking balls that he was not locating in the previous two hitters. Don't swing at breaking balls. But he did, and he struck out on 2 pitches that if he would have been watching, he would have been up 2-1 in that count. But he's swinging at, I mean, look, it's enticing. And obviously he thinks he can hit that. But Manaea was locked in and was spinning it, and Harper could not hit it. And then you get the Nick Castellanos line out. They double up Schwarber at second base. So the sixth inning was it. The sixth inning was their opportunity, and it was still close in the sixth inning. It was still 2-0. You had the big Pete Alonso home run early again. Like I said, Pete, with these performances, with this postseason, is locking in his extension with the New York Mets. You cannot let Pete Alonso walk with the postseason that we're getting out of him. He goes deep. You get a Winker home run a couple innings later, so you have the 2-0 lead. But in that sixth inning, the Phillies make it close, and you're thinking, uh-oh, we need more runs. Oh, what better time to get more runs than the top of the next inning after you shut them down and snuffed out their rally? And that's exactly what happens. It is the script that you wanted. You shut them down in the bottom of the sixth, and then in the top of the seventh, the Mets turn around, and it was right off the bat. Loading the bases with nobody out. I'm sorry, not the top, bottom. They're the home team. Bottom of the sixth. Top of the sixth, they shut them down. Bottom of the sixth. The Mets load the bases with nobody out. They grab two there. You get, and that it was Starling Marte that came up with the big hit. It was a backbreaker. That moment, that is it. It's 4-0 now. Oh, Jesus. It is such an emotional swing moment there from a Mets fan perspective. You're thinking, we got this. From a Phillies fan perspective, you're looking at to say, that's the game. That's the game. And then in the eighth inning, Iglesias comes up with the bases loaded again and drives in two more while the crowd's chanting his song. Because I think they did a pitching change in between. The crowd's singing his song. And then he comes up with a bases loaded knock that drives in two. This was a Phillies game where you needed what the Mets got from Manaea. That is what the Phillies needed from Aaron Nola. And they didn't get it. You give up 5 hits, 2 walks, 7 total base runners, 4 runs allowed, struck out 8, but Aaron Nola didn't come through. And you needed him to, because I'm a little worried about who you got going out in game 4. Ranger Suarez makes me nervous, guys. And this bullpen, the way they've performed in this series, makes me nervous. Hoffman, Strom, Alvarado, Ruiz, who are you going to? Estevez and Kirkring, who pitched yesterday, going to need them again tonight. And make sure they're not facing the same batters, because who they faced last night might have their number tonight. But you may not have it to be able to decide that or have that say because you don't feel confident in Hoffman or Strom or Alvarado. I don't like the way that this pitching is finishing up for the Philadelphia Phillies. You needed Nola to go out there and give you 6 or 7 shutout innings. This game needed to be 0-0 heading into the seventh. But the Mets bats are coming through. The Mets bats are coming through. You're going to have, from a pitching perspective, Garrett, Peterson, Buto, Diaz, they'll all be fresh. They're going to throw Jose Quintana, and I love that. On top of it, Quintana will be going up against a Phillies lineup that's, look, Harper's getting a lot of attention. Trey Turner's been having some big at-bats. Nick Castellanos has been doing some good things. But you know what? Outside of that, guys, kind of not happening. Marsh does not have a hit. Realmuto does not have a hit. Alec Boehm has 1 hit. Kyle Schwarber, since that leadoff home run against Kodai Senga, is 1-for-11. Where are we? Where are the bats? Good pitching will neutralize good hitting. If that pitcher is on, he will get the best of that pitcher most of the time. And that is what is happening. We're seeing a solid Mets bullpen. We're seeing outings like that from Manaea. It's exactly what you need. It's the ingredient. It's the ingredient to get through. Manaea, wonderful stuff. And you get Quintana for the follow-up. Quintana against Suarez. And remember, Quintana in the game clincher against the Brewers was masterful. Pitched against the Phillies back on September 13th. Lights out. 7 innings, no runs. If he does that again, this thing's over. And he also faced these Phillies bats in October in 2022. So just 2 years ago, it was the same lineup. It was the same cast of characters when Quintana was a Cardinal. He went 5 1/3, gave up 2 hits, didn't allow a run. If you can get five innings where you have shut the Phillies bats down in this game, I'm really confident, especially with Ranger Suarez on the bump, that the Mets are going to have a couple of runs, and it'll turn into a four inning game, and the Mets will have the lead. It'll turn into, how do we close 6, 7, 8, 9? And when you have a weapon like Diaz, who I know he's been a little shaky, but we trust Diaz to get the job done. I know Mendoza is going to trust Diaz to get the job done. And again, like I said, we have other pitchers that have been looking good. Garrett has looked good. You got Peterson. You can go to Peterson. You get five shutdown innings, six shutdown innings. Then you go to Peterson for a couple innings. Then you go to Diaz. There it is. There's your script. There's the script for the clincher. Suarez. It's been a tale of two seasons. He was good through his first half of the year. First 16 starts. He only allowed more than three runs once. Since then, he's pitched 11 games. He missed some time late July to late August. He missed about a month. But since then, 11 starts, he's allowed more than three runs. Remember, that's our barometer. So the first 16 starts, more than three once. 16, more than three, one. Since then, it's been 11. 11, more than three, five. That's a big difference. That's a different pitcher. Since then, since September, ERA 6.04. Last time out against the Mets, it was September 21st, five innings, only allowed two runs, but walking guys. That's been part of the problem. He's been walking guys. Three walks that game, five hits, gave up a couple of home runs over five innings. That's less than stellar. To allow three walks, five hits, two home runs, and only give up two runs, that's almost like selective home run allowance. You're not going to have that every time. You run that back, five hits, three walks, two home runs. One of those home runs might have a couple runners on base. So you've got to lock that down if you're the Philadelphia Phillies. Ranger Suarez needs to try to get back to who he was the first half if you want to have a chance here. Suarez makes me nervous. The pen makes me nervous. The bullpen for the Mets is the complete opposite. I feel really good about that. These Mets bats versus these Phillies bats. The Mets bats are much more alive. Vientos, Iglesias, Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor, Winker, JD Martinez. They all come to bat, and I feel like they could get something done. The Phillies bats, I feel that way for about half of the group. And that's not going to be enough when the pitcher you're throwing out there is shaky at best. Who's going to win these games? Comment down below. Who you got? Phillies and Mets, Dodgers and Padres. Mets are our team of destiny. They have been in elimination mode for weeks, and it is showing. Philadelphia Phillies had a week off, and it is showing. Padres and Dodgers, big brother versus little brother. Who's going to get over on the other one? I'm out of here. Guys, remember, if it's low, let it go. If it's high, let it fly. I'll catch you next time.